Morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Letitia McDaniel, Laurent Landis. The Fink has the day off. You know, Patty and I were talking last night because she was
I'm just dying.
She's got the cooties.
Yeah, I'm dying. I said, no, you can't die because then what would we call you? We couldn't call you the late Patty Fink anymore.
The really late
Patty Fink. Right,
right.
Patty will be back with us next week. And our guest today is Major Jimenez, Mark Jimenez. You prefer Major. You can tell us why, where Major came from. But Major and his partner, Bo, were arrested at the Dallas County Clerk's office last week. They applied for their marriage license, were turned down, and then refused to leave. Welcome, Major.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
And tell us what led you up to doing this. What you actually did was you went to the county clerk's office. There were a few couples ahead of you. Man and woman, they went up, applied for their license. You went up, applied for your license, did what you had to do, the paperwork, and you were turned down.
Yes, we were turned down. I kind of thought this might happen because I'd been down there, you know, a couple times before, just letting people know that we were looking for marriage equality, but it was more to make a statement. But my boy last year in June, and earlier this year...
And he's not here with us today because he had to work. Like you always do, Lily. You don't have to today.
Not today, I don't.
But, you know, I asked my partner about 3 months ago if he'd like to get married, and he said yes. And I thought, okay, we'll get married. But then I thought, you know, I really want to get married. So we kind of devised this plan. But we went there on Thursday, and the lady, first of all, asked us, are one of us a proxy for a female inmate? And I go, we're here to get married. She goes, well, you know, the state law says that you have to be a natural born man and a natural born woman to get married. And I said, well, that's unfortunate that it says that, but we'd still like to get married. And she says, you can't. I said, well, we're not going to leave here until we get a marriage license. And she just kind of looked at me. She goes, well, I can't give you a marriage license. And I said, okay. And so we handcuffed ourselves together and we blocked the front of the line.
And Bo said, this was very sweet, he said, but we want to get married because we love each other.
Well, we do love each other very much. We do love each other very much.
And no, I mean, it was very sweet. That was when the clerk broke down in tears.
I was going to ask, how was the reaction of the clerk? Was she upset or just kind of like, I hate to do this, but it's my job, you know?
I think she was mostly uncomfortable because she was... It's the law. If she breaks the law, she goes. And, you know, she had no idea we were coming up there, that this was just a regular Thursday for her. And she's like, you know, people have to work conscious, but they also have to take care of themselves. And, you know.
She's just doing her job.
She's doing her job.
Yeah.
But each time one of the clerks, so we're handcuffed and across the line, and each time one of the clerks said next, you know, we were going to be polite and respectful, but I would say, we're next. And the couples behind us would stop. And I'd look at them and I'd say, but they're not going to give us a marriage license, so go ahead. And none of them were ugly to us or anything. They were just like,
yeah.
They just moved the line around us. But they were all very respectful, all the couples behind us that got the marriage license.
Well, they have a variance for having applied for their license.
They'll be able to tell that story for the rest of their life. Now, is this the first time that this has happened in Texas that anyone knows of?
In Austin on Valentine's Day, a couple went to the county clerk's office. Now, as much as our clerk is also on our side on this
Absolutely.
Issue, in Austin, the county clerk herself came out. John Warren wasn't there last week. He was on vacation last week, so he did not come out. But the county clerk was there on Valentine's Day in Austin, and she came down to the to the office, and she was pleading with the couple, "Oh, please, won't you leave? I don't want to have you arrested."
Right.
You know? And she was completely, and she was in tears through the whole thing. And what was reported more was her being in tears than what the couple was doing.
Yeah, and I think there was actual video of her just showing, like, afterwards, after she had been, you know, crying. She's like, "I really wanted to help them out, but I couldn't do anything." And you could just tell that she'd been crying. Right. So and I was like, "Oh, poor lady."
You know, one thing I noticed through this whole experience, through going through the city and the jail and everything else, you'd be surprised the number of people who are actually supportive.
Oh, yeah.
It's surprising.
And so let's go back a little bit. First of all, just for anybody who doesn't understand, what was it that you were doing? You were applying for a marriage license. Why?
Because we're going to get married. You know, we just want to be like everybody else. And people, we are just like everybody else. We watch television and we play video games. We go bowling. You know,
pay your taxes.
Like everybody else.
Now, what LaRon
pay our taxes? Yes.
What LaRon and Danny did, they had been together for about 10 years, and they decided before they had a child, they didn't want the child to be raised illegitimately.
You know me, I'm Mr. Traditional.
I know you are. So they went to Canada and got a traditional Canadian marriage, came back, and then LaRon got pregnant.
Yes. Yes.
And Gabrielle she's coming up on 4.
She's coming up on 4.
God!
Yeah.
Nice.
Time passes
God,
quick.
God, she's coming up on 4.
So you're going to be a granddaddy before you even know it.
I hope not. Not that soon. But yeah, it is going to be pretty
you
quick.
Know, she's going to be 4.
Yeah.
I mean, when she was 1, 2, that was okay to say, but she's going to be 4.
She's going on 4.
Okay.
Almost school time.
Yeah. Almost school
time.
Yeah.
But so getting back to what we're actually talking about, but you went to Canada, got your license. You didn't want to go out of state.
No, I work with some beautiful coworkers, and my buddies Tony and Doug, they went out of state to Iowa to get married recently. And I applaud them, and I love them, guys. But, you know, they come back here, and their marriage isn't legal here. Mm-hmm. Me and my partner, we're both Texans. We want to get married in the state that we call home. And you know, speaking of Canada, though, I've gotten a couple thousand emails in the last 4 or 5 days. My partner's gotten about the same. We've gotten more invitations to go to Canada to get married because they welcome us there.
They totally welcome you there.
So, you know, we're going to stay in Texas and fight it here, but I do appreciate my Canadian friends up there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was going to say, I mean, we talked about that also. Should we wait till it's legal in Texas? And my attitude is just, you know, we might be waiting for years.
Yeah.
Then you would have had an illegitimate child.
Yeah, you know, we had to get that out of the way. So, and for my, I don't know, this is, you know, part of the legal fight. It's not that your marriages aren't legal, they aren't recognized.
Recognized.
And that is a difference.
Yes.
So I just thought, let's go get married somewhere where it is legal. Who knows? We'll just go from there, see what happens.
But you decided to go here. Now, in planning your application, it was really a very funny scene because I walked in and I know all the police officers, I know the sheriff's deputies, they know all of them. Basically, they had this lovely catered affair. The couple of people from the sheriff's department that I was talking to upstairs while the two of them were handcuffed to each other, there was one who's one of Lupe's assistants, and I said to him, "I really like this. It's not like they do it in other cities." He said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, they brought their own gay police officers, gay sheriff's deputies, gay building maintenance workers, their own media, and everything is just so friendly here in Dallas the way we do it." And he kind of looked. He said, "They don't do it this way in other cities?" And I said,
No, not really. No, we're very fortunate to have some beautiful allies within the Dallas community, within the Dallas Police Department. Mm-hmm. And Laura Martin, here's a shout out to you. I love her to death. Mm-hmm. She's there to support us. And when we have our protests and when we have our gatherings, we also have memorials.
Mm-hmm.
She's always there with her other detectives. And they say, "We're here for you." Mm-hmm. if you have any problems, you come get us. And I thank them from the bottom of my hearts because they are there to protect us.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and Laura was there, like she is at any event, to make sure everything is done legally, safely, that everything goes. Now, she wasn't there to make sure they didn't get arrested, because what they did was they stayed beyond building closing time, and so they were arrested for
criminal trespass.
And now there's a question about whether or not criminal trespass is actually more than would normally be charged elsewhere, and we're looking into that. But as opposed to just regular trespass, that's a Class B misdemeanor as opposed to a Class C misdemeanor. Yeah. What are the penalties, possible penalties for Class B?
Well, we're facing 180 days in jail, a $2,000 fine, and we have to pay $250 each in court costs, which, by the way, is going to be in separate courts at the same time on the same day, which means that I'm not going to be able to be there to support my partner when he's sentenced for this crime we committed of trying to get married. And likewise, he's not going to be able to be there to support me for my crime. And I don't think that's right. I need to be there for my partner, for my fiance, for the man I'm going to be marrying. He needs me there. And I'd like to see some friendly faces when I'm being sentenced by the judge for our crime.
Oh, I have a feeling there'll be some.
Why are they having it in two different courts?
This is what was interesting. They got up to the magistrate's office that sets the bail, set the bail at $500.
It was $500 a piece.
And then set them, Major, yours will be August 2nd, 8:30, District Court 4. And Bo, yours will be August 2nd, 8:30 a.m., District Court 5. I think what they were doing really was nothing more than, okay, here's the next one, here's the next one, next person who came in, District Court 6, District Court 7, or however many courts, next one, okay, your court time is 8:45, and it was nothing more than setting them up. Now, if they were, and you might know this a little bit more, Laurent, if they were a married couple who committed one offense, let's say two people who robbed a convenience store, would they be given separate court dates, court times, courts?
It would be two separate cases.
It would be two.
Yes.
Okay, it would be.
Even
okay,
if, even if you're married.
Even if
yeah.
it's a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that wasn't a matter of doing that because they weren't married.
Right.
Okay, so those would be separate. Now, with their attorney, once they settle on an attorney, with their attorney, can't their attorney then petition the court and say, I'm the attorney for the two of them, can we push the time up from 8:30 to 9:00 in that court? Because I have an 8:30.
Of course,
this court.
Absolutely.
So that's a simple thing to do. That's just something the attorney does.
Right. Well, that's a relief because I thought we were going to have to hire two attorneys.
Okay.
No, not necessarily.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the story. About you were sitting there. You first of all, what you did is you come in. What is the procedure?
You walk up there. There's a form that you fill out, and one says groom. And one says bride. And so my partner, Bo, scratched out bride and said not applicable, and he put both of our names down for the grooms. And then we were instructed to go sit down and wait our turn. And then I guess the paperwork kind of got back there, and they were like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, we got them again. So, but, you know, we waited our turn, and then, you know, we dealt with it as we dealt with it.
And they had like a 15-minute wait or so, and the one person comes out and she looks at the clipboard and, you know, she just calls name and name, and then she calls name and name, and she brings them over to a side room. Everybody, not just them, to fill out the paperwork and I guess look at identification.
Yes, they have to look at your IDs.
Make sure it's actually
you.
That's getting
right.
married, and. Then you handcuffed yourselves. Media is standing around. A couple of the TV people, you're sitting on the floor at the beginning of the line. A couple of the TV people, they interviewed you. I remember a couple of the questions that, like, the Channel 8 reporter was asking you. He was looking for, give me some ways that you've been discriminated against, that you need this. Like, he asked, have either of you ever been in the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
what he was looking for was, were either of you ever denied the right to go and see your partner in the hospital? Mm-hmm. And you gave them something. I forgot what it was that you gave them. It wasn't that one. It was something else. But and then, you know, each of them interviewed. And then it got to be 4:30. And what happened at 4:30 when the building closes?
Well, at 4:30, they asked everybody to leave. They said, media out, friends out, everybody needs to leave. And then they told us we needed to leave. And I politely told them, we've been waiting patiently for a marriage license. You've been skipping over us all afternoon, and we've just waited, and we're still waiting for our marriage license, and it's like I explained to the lady, we're not going to leave until we get a marriage license. At that time, pretty much the person who was most in charge came up and said, look, guys, we really don't have to do this. The media's gone, your friends are gone, your supporters are gone. We can just take you out the back door and everybody will think you got arrested and you will have accomplished your goal. And I looked at him and I said, you've got to be kidding. I said, we came here to get a marriage license. We don't have a marriage license. We're not going to leave without one.
Your goal was not to get arrested and have media there take pretty pictures of you. Your goal was to get married.
Our goal was to get a marriage license. Yeah.
That speaks volumes of how some people still just don't get it. They think you're there plain and simple only to make a statement.
No, we were there to get a marriage license.
You're there to get married.
I've made my statements for many years. I'm there to get a marriage license.
I mean, he's there to make a statement, but also the big picture is to get married.
Right. But you know how I read that also, though? I read that as, okay, if you're here just to do the education, because the media part is the education of it, make people aware. Here's a couple, you know, this couple can get married, that couple can get married, and then this couple can't. News showed that they did make their statement, but what it showed was, look, guys, we're really on your side on this. We have no problem, even if not on your side, we have no problem with what you did. It's not like you were doing anything that we really think was criminal, and we're trying to take you down here.
Right.
We're giving you every opportunity. If you want to just call it off right here, you can do that. And I think that's a good example of how we don't quite do things the way they do them in other cities. That wouldn't have happened elsewhere.
Right.
Even in New York, which is so pro-marriage equality right now. Did you see their ruling last week from the Supreme Court?
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court issued a ruling on marriage equality. Jerry Falwell's Liberty Foundation had filed a suit against New York's marriage law. Why a Virginia organization? Why it affects them?
Well, the rule...
Because Jesus has no jurisdiction.
Well, the suit was against... what's the governor's name?
Cuomo.
Cuomo, that they organized this behind closed doors and secret meetings and so forth.
That affects people in Virginia.
Exactly.
That's my point. Okay, exactly. So they sued. Well, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that not only were these not secret meetings,
right,
but even if they were, you don't have the right to sue to take away somebody else's civil rights. That's basically what the suit said. It was a brilliant decision.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Major Jimenez. He and his partner, Bo, applied for a marriage license last week at the county clerk's office here in Dallas. We're going to be talking more to him. Laron, you have an entertainment report today? We'll come back with the entertainment report and more Lambda Weekly. We're right after this.
You are listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
KNON thanks Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERimaging.com.
GoodSearch.com provides a way for you to support nonprofits like KNON with your online shopping and dining. GoodSearch.com offers a downloadable toolbar for searching from your computer called GoodApp, so your purchases can go to support KNON. With Good Dining, every time you go out to eat at participating restaurants, then a portion of what you spend gets donated to KNON. Registering is easy at GoodSearch.com, and KNON 89.3 is the name to enter in your account settings for charity selection. Support KNON with your online shopping and dining at GoodSearch.com.
This is a random person, and I don't listen to Lambda Weekend on 89.3 KNON FM Dallas.
And Entertainment Report.
Alrighty, actress, dancer, singer, and American Idol judge Jennifer Lopez will be adding another trait to her resume, producer. Jennifer Lopez is developing an hour-long drama for her ABC Family about a family headed by a lesbian couple. Now, one of the mothers is a cop, and the other one is a private school teacher. The still-untitled series is said to be fast-tracking to get it on the network. And it was created and written by former Lambda Weekly guest and Queer as Folk star Peter Page.
Oh.
Yeah, along with Brad Bradwick. So that should be interesting. I hope it stays on, because there are no...
Did you see, there is a new show on NBC. Have you seen that one? Called The New Normal? It's about you and Danny.
Yes.
It's about a couple.
I didn't know that it has...
hasn't started yet.
It hasn't started yet, but I have read about it.
Okay, so yeah. It's about a couple that hires a surrogate.
Yes.
And they may be with this surrogate.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, they're like as dizzy as these two are. The two of them are talking, and one of them's a doctor, one of them's a... I don't know what the other one does. But they're talking, and one of them says, do you think it's fair for us to bring a child into such an untraditional family? And the other one says, well, I know one man who's done pretty well, who is brought up, a black person who is brought up by a white mother. And the other one says, oh, right, Mariah Carey. Not Mariah Carey.
It was Mariah.
Okay, yeah.
That's hilarious.
CNN anchor and personality Anderson Cooper is coming out last week. Surprised very few people, if anybody at all.
I was shocked.
I know. I was just so shocked. But many did wonder why he chose to come out now. Well, according to the former Views host Star Jones, Anderson Cooper came out to help ratings and with his shows.
God.
Yeah. Star said that she's been in daytime TV for a long time, and that when your ratings slip, hosts tend to tell you a lot of things about them, such as when Oprah admitted that she got pregnant at 14 years old when she had her show. She went on to say that she was being a little bit of a cynic, and she quickly said, I'm sorry I said that. Bravo for him. Can we say B?
I know. Like, her whole weight loss journey was for
exactly.
Yeah.
That wasn't for ratings.
I'm sure it was.
I mean, I am curious why he chose the time that he did. I didn't think for a second that it was for ratings.
Yeah, well, first of all, he's out of the country. He's in Africa, so he kind of did like a little media bomb. Dropped a media bomb while he's out of the country.
Right. He's in Botswana.
Yeah. And I think he's been kind of building up to it, because I've been watching, you know, 360 and the whole keeping it real. Is it keeping it real or keeping you honest?
Keeping you honest.
Yeah,
yes.
And those all those little bits and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
It's been building up for a while. Yeah, it's been building up with all the anti-bullying coverage he's been doing and stuff like that. So it just seemed like it was coming.
But you know, one thing that I do like, because she said that this is a total shift in times. When has it ever been that you coming out is supposed to help your career? supposed to hurt.
Yeah.
Well, but when Ellen did the puppy episode, the original coming out episode, that was the highest rated episode of her show. So that's when it changed.
I guess you're right. It is when it changed. So, and last, the very gay-friendly Brad Pitt is back in the news, but not because of anything he said or done. It's because of his mother.
His poor mother.
Yeah,
bless
Jane Pitt. I don't know if I'm going to say that, but his mother wrote a letter, and she had it published in the Missouri News Leader, which she stated she was opposed to Obama being reelected because he supports gay nuptials and a woman's right to choose. Now, at first, people were asking, is that the same Jane Pitt? And they were denying it. Well, they eventually had to admit, yeah, this is Brad Pitt's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, the only reason why that this isn't been making news is because Brad Pitt is really gay-friendly. His partner, Angelina Jolie, is very gay-friendly. They've even said that they would not marry themselves until marriage equality was legal.
Mm-hmm.
But so then they had Doug Pitt on, Brad's brother, who's all cute. he was on a Today Show the other day, and he just said, you know, look, mom and dads and kids agree to disagree all over the world, so why should our family be any different? And that's a good answer. So I think everybody just suspected, oh, well, your parents must be really liberal, too, and that's not always the case.
Yeah. It is in my case.
I just think Brad Pitt's just all over the place. So, yeah. He's just special.
So what do they think about having a bisexual daughter-in-law?
She not only that, a lot of people are assuming that they have a possible transgender child.
Hmm.
Their daughter, I can't remember her name, but she's always...
Is it Shiloh? That's not Shiloh, is it?
I think so. She's always dressing up like a little boy. And Angelina Jolie said, I'm letting her do what she wants to do.
Either way, she's so cute.
She's cute.
I guess we just learned to accept, like you've learned to accept, that you might have a heterosexual child, Laurent.
Yes, I might, unfortunately. No, I shouldn't say unfortunately. Whatever she is, that's cool.
Uh-huh. We are talking to Major Jimenez. He is one of the couple that was arrested last week for protesting in the county clerk's office, trying to get his marriage license. You picked the dates purposely.
Yes, we did actually pick the date on purpose. It was July 5th because, of course, government offices are closed on July 4th. But, you know, it was actually, you mentioned President Obama a minute ago, but in May, I believe it was May the 9th, President Obama was historic when he came out and said that after much soul searching, that he was going to decide or make it public that he was for marriage equality. And that's about the time when we started to devise our plan. We picked July 5th because that's right after our Independence Day. And, you know, when we put our Facebook notice out and we actually said, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We want to pursue our happiness. We wanted to get married. And that's why we chose that day. Interestingly enough, we're going to have to appear in court on August the 2nd, as was previously mentioned, but that happens to be the date that the Declaration of Independence was ratified in 1776.
Hmm. So maybe that judge that set that date just had this little tinge of irony.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Abraham used the Declaration of Independence to end slavery. The women's right movement, in my opinion, did right when they said it should be all men and women are created equal. But then, you know, we've moved on up to like 1955, and this is really what prompted the civil disobedience action. You know, Rosa Parks was sitting there on that bus. She had worked all day. She went back. They had the line marked, coloreds can sit back here, so she sat down. And then a little bit later, more people got on the bus, and they decided that they were going to move the line back here, and they told her to move. And you know what? She said, I was tired. I was tired. I wasn't tired from work. Yeah, I was a little bit tired from work, but not any more tired than any other day. I was tired of saying, okay, I'm a second-class citizen. I'll do what you say. She was tired of it, and that's what we were. We're tired of this. We've been asking them and asking them and asking them for decades, and they keep saying no, and we're tired of it. So that's exactly why we went to apply for the marriage license on that particular day.
You know, and speaking of Rosa Parks, what I think was interesting was where we gathered in the lobby of the County Records Building, there is a plaque right behind where we were standing that says, the header is Whites Only, and it commemorates that the fountain that was right there, the water fountain, was a Whites Only water fountain right there in Dallas County, which, you know, today, I can't even imagine it.
It's ridiculous.
And one day, we will look back and say we couldn't even imagine this.
Yeah. And, I mean, that was within my lifetime. I didn't live here.
Right.
And I only saw it a couple of times when we used to go down to Florida to visit my grandmother. And I did see it there, but I was sheltered from it. I was a young kid, and I was sheltered from it because my mother thought it was disgusting, and so she wouldn't let us use the water fountains or separate bathrooms or anything like that. I actually thought the signs that said colored bathroom, well, that sounds more interesting than a white bathroom, doesn't it?
No. But you're gay, of course. You got to have your colors. See? So what are there any plans, and you don't have to answer this, but has your attorney...
No, sure he does.
Well, no. Are you planning on appealing whatever happens? Or just going to let it stand?
Well, how are you going to plead, first of all?
Well, I'm going to plead not guilty because I went there to get a marriage license. You know, come on now. That's what I went there for, and right. That's what I was denied. And I'm going to plead not guilty.
As
and
you should.
My partner in the other court is also going to plead not guilty. Now, we could be sentenced to 180 days in jail, but I'm going to keep trying to get a marriage license. And give me any jail time at all, the day I get out of jail, I'm going to go back in that line and apply for a marriage license again, and we're going to sue the state of Texas.
Now, what you haven't spoken to an attorney yet about this yet, have you?
Well, not really. We have some people. We haven't actually selected one yet.
Okay.
So you haven't discussed with an attorney, if you were to sue the state of Texas, exactly what you'd be suing for?
Well, we're suing for marriage equality. We want to be able to get married in our state.
And I guess when I say what you'd be suing for, I guess you'd have to sue to overturn the amendment that
right.
was passed.
Well, yes, that illegal amendment that they added that really bans all marriages and makes all marriage
right.
You know, I don't understand them sometimes, but we got to work through the process. This process has taken so long that we decided to speed it up a little bit. They've got to address this because we're not going away. There's been, like I said, we've gotten thousands of emails in the last 5 days. We've gotten emails from all over the world. We've gotten the international because this is a human rights violation. And we've got support from every state and countries everywhere. And they say, you know, it's time for people to start taking a stand. We need to start doing this in every city and every state and every week. And it turns heard last night that actually on the day that we're going to be sentenced, there's going to be a nationwide call for action for LGBT rights. And so I'm going to see how that goes.
You know, and it's interesting watching what has gone on in New York. And I was just up in New York a few weeks ago. It's basically 1 year since they have marriage equality up there. And I was talking to the a comptroller of New York because of his involvement in trying to do that shareholder initiative with Exxon. And his attitude was, they're violating the laws of our state, and they're going to stop. I mean, and that was his attitude. As much as Tillerson is, who's the of Exxon, he's that much of a on their side,
right.
And we've got one with the comptroller in New York who's that much of a pain, but on our side. I mean, his attitude is, they're going to change this. And I was up in New York a few weeks ago. I mean, it was so normal. And when I say so normal, I mean for everybody. I mean, all of my relatives. I'm the only gay person that I know of in my family. And, I mean, everybody's just talking about it like, well, of course, you know, what's the big deal?
Well, you know,
it just is completely normal for them in 1 year.
That's beautiful. You know, I know y'all know when Secretary of State Clinton gave her speech to the United Nations last year for LGBT mm-hmm. rights. And I think that was the most brilliant speech. I rank it up there with Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. But she was telling people, you know, we are everywhere. We're in your families. We're your neighbors. We're your teachers. We're your clerks. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
And we're just like everybody
else.
The
last two secretaries of state.
So, true. But, you know, I think that if people really understood that the real reason that a marriage is different from a civil union, and I'm sure y'all have talked about this before, but there's people smarter than me have researched this, but there's over 1,000 things that married partners get that gay and lesbian couples in civil union do not get. And that's just downright not fair. It's unequal treatment. period. We wouldn't let this happen to other people. We've come a long way with civil rights, women's rights. We have a long way to go. But you know what? We seem to be the ones that they can all pick on. And the Republican Party has made it quite clear in their platform what they think about us. And we know we have a fight on our hands.
Well, you know, you mentioned civil unions. Well, in these bans, you know, in the states that have passed or amended their constitutions to ban same or marriage equality, they've also included civil unions or anything close to it. So we don't even have the choice of a civil union.
Right.
I mean, we don't have a choice of anything.
My partner and I can go, or if we were a heterosexual couple, we could go pay our little $75, get married, everything's done. No, because of that, we've got to go spend thousands and thousands of dollars with an attorney to have things written up and copied and signed and documented and notarized.
And even then, that can be challenged. You know, it can be challenged. It's not bulletproof at all.
You know, my biggest concern is I'm 52. My partner will be 36 next week. I just turned 52 myself last week. And as an unmarried couple, if something were to happen to me, my birth mother is the final say. And I don't want my birth mother to have anything to do with the final say of my life. My stepmother who raised me, yes. My partner who I love, yes. My birth mother, no. And if my partner and I were married, this wouldn't be a question.
It wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be. I was going to say, just quickly, can you talk about how you proposed to him? I just think that's the sweetest, cutest story. It's much sweeter than how
actually tells it better
than I was proposed to. So,
well, you know, I met him a year ago, and I wish I would have nailed him then, but I got my chance earlier this year, and we got up on a Saturday morning. Of course, I work nights, and so it was a bit of a challenge to get up, but that early, but I did. And I went downstairs and I made my famous blueberry pancakes. But I had ordered rings for us, and I had wrapped it in some plastic, and I stuck it in there and made these beautiful blueberry pancakes. And I'm watching them, just enjoying every minute of it. And so, but you know, it's that kind of fake pancake where you shake it up with the water and then pour it. But then you add blueberries, it's not
right,
bad.
Right.
And he thought, oh no, the cap of the pancake thing has come, my blueberry pancakes, and I hope he doesn't see this. It's kind of embarrassing for him, and he's trying to like push it away to the side, but then he's like, wait, that's not the top from the blueberry pancake mix. And he starts opening it up, and it's his ring that I wanted to propose with. And of course I got down on my knee and I asked him if he would like to get married, and he said yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And, and he put the ring on, and it was still covered in syrup.
No. I had wrapped it in plastic, but
okay,
not the way he tells it.
He is husband material.
Not the way he tells it.
Not supposed to talk about those sort of things.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Letitia McDaniel and Laron Landis. We're talking to Major Jimenez. He was arrested last week after he and his partner Bo applied for a marriage license. We're going to talk a little bit more about what the consequences of all this were and where it's going to lead, and we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
You are listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
This Saturday, for the first time in 7 years, KNON is releasing a blues CD. That's right, this Saturday you can be there for a piece of KNON blues history when we release Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, a Dallas-Fort Worth blues compilation at Poor David's Pub in Dallas. Performing live will be Andrea Dawson, Johnny Red and the Roosters, and Kirkland James. Admission is only $8 in advance and includes a free barbecue dinner from Red Hot and Blue. CDs are not included with admission. Dinner and a show for only $8? That's a great deal. Being the first to get KNON's new blues CD? That's just plain good for your ears. It's a blues event for Dallas-Fort Worth blues fans this Saturday, July 14th, with Andrea Dawson, Johnny Red and the Roosters, and Kirkland James. Free barbecue from Red Hot and Blue, and your chance to be the first to own KNON's Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 CD. Doors open at 8 p.m. Poor David's Pub is located at 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. More information and tickets are available at KNON.org. CD is sponsored by Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. See you there.
Want to find out about upcoming events at KNON? Want to see pictures from past events or need information about the station? Then you need to like the official KNON Facebook page. It's easy to find. Just go to facebook.com/KNON893. It's the KNON 89.3 FM station-produced page for Facebook. It's the easiest way to keep up with what's going on here at KNON. Like us and share with your friends today. That's facebook.com/KNON893. Accept no substitutions.
Tune in every Monday morning at 7 a.m. to KNON's newest talk program, Jim Schutz, Get Off My Lawn, sponsored by the Dallas Observer. Jim Schutz, Get Off My Lawn brings you the story not covered by Dallas's other news outlets. Jim will be taking your calls and featuring special guests.
This is Jim Schutz. I'll be your host for Get Off My Lawn every Monday morning at 7 a.m. on KNON.
This is Kimberly Truax of the GLBT Wedding Expo, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Tappet here in the studio with Letitia McDaniel and Laron Landis. The late Patty Fink will be back with us next week unless she becomes the really late Patty Fink. And we're talking to Major Jimenez. He was arrested last week at the Dallas County Clerk's Office after not leaving when the two of them were denied a marriage license. Letitia.
Well, I just want to ask, I know you are going to ride this out to the bitter end or when you get your marriage license, mm-hmm. but I was just wondering,
And to me, that would be the bitter end.
We deserve it just like everybody else.
Yeah, and you did say that, you know, if you know, after this process of, you know, you going to court and whatever happens, if you have to do jail time, you're going to be back the next day. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering, have you heard from any other people who said that they're going to join in your fight, or like are we going to have more couples showing up at the court, county clerk office, demanding a license, being denied, and then also going through the same process as you? Have you heard anyone else saying that they're planning on doing that kind of action as well?
You know, on our Facebook page, our public invite to Free Major and Bo, I've gotten hundreds of emails, but I've got couples here in Dallas saying, you have inspired us. We've been together 8 years, 10 years, mm-hmm. 40 years, and we have not been having the opportunity to get married legally in our state. You have inspired us. And I hope they do take it. I hope they do consider it, and I hope they do go down with us or go down on their own. And I'll be there to support them every step of the way. But a lot of people are thinking about this now.
So there's not yet any organizing around having like a mass?
Well, no, we were the first ones that ever did it.
Yeah.
So when they saw that we had the guts to do it, it truly has inspired a lot of people, from what I'm told.
Yeah. And when he says first who's ever done it, first ones who've ever gone all the way through to an arrest.
Yeah, there have been several incidents, like the on you know Valentine's Day, people have gone in and you know requested a marriage license, they said no and then just left. You know, yeah. They didn't go all the way through with it.
And you brought a clipping from 1989.
Oh yeah,
from the Dallas Morning News.
Yeah, in 1989. It says 9 homosexual couples protect Texas marriage law. And we met with County Clerk Earl Bullock at the time.
And you were there?
I was there. I was there. And it was nice. He took us away from downstairs, and he took us into his private office, and he explained the law to us. And we told him we would be back. And it might have taken me a few years, but I did come back. Yeah. And it hasn't changed. And
one of the people who's in that picture is Bill Travis, who was one of the original hosts of this show. And Bill Hunt, who passed away in the early 1990s, I think Bill died. Another couple who's, again, no longer alive that I saw, and I cannot think of their names. But Mary Franklin and her partner Jean were there. Mary ran the food pantry, basically one of the people who started the food pantry here. But I love that. I hadn't seen that article since 1989. now, the idea, though, and we had a caller about this, why doesn't somebody just do this every single day? And that sure would make a statement, and boy, would they get tired of it. In a way, if there was one couple who did this every day, I'm wondering what would happen, whether some of the judges would just get tired of this and say, okay, you're going to jail for 180 days.
Well, you know, that's one thing that I'm a little bit worried about, because there have been nationwide posts on our Facebook page saying that this should happen every day in every city. And mm-hmm. I'm a little bit concerned that the judges might say, we're not going to have that here. It's against the law, and we're not going to put up with this 180 days for you, 180 days for you. you know, we got a dog and a cat. Do you think y'all could watch it? The cat's not very nice, but the dog is just precious.
But you think it could go the other way, where maybe these judges can become very vocal about the fact that this is clogging up our courts, this is not right, these people should have a right to marry, and them coming through my court is clogging up my court, and something needs to be done about it.
Not only clog up those courts, a lot of those cases I'm sure will be appealed, and then the appeals courts will be clogged up.
Yeah, yeah. So you think it could go the other way, they can actually become more of an advocate instead of, you know, actually saying, you know, you people need to go away and stop clogging up my court, or I'm going to put you in jail, or they can kind of try to appeal to maybe the state and says these people are trying to come through this court and we have, you know, we have other cases that need to be dealt with and, you know, we need to do something about this also because it's becoming a problem.
Well, you know, I wish that more of our heterosexual friends would come out for our support. You know, I work at the Dallas Eagle. It's a great bar. We've hired our first heterosexual bartender who's married. He's absolutely gorgeous. His wife is absolutely gorgeous. And they're 100% behind us in our quest to get married. They have the luxury of being married. And they say they're going to be down there. There's two of them. There will be one of them in each one of our courthouses so that we will see a friendly face.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
And there's actually a call for action that morning at 8 o'clock in the morning here in Dallas, Texas. If you've got a chance to get down there to the Frank Crowley Courthouse and you support marriage equality, if you're gay, if you're straight, if you're bi, if you're transgendered, if you're a friend, family, loved one of someone, come out and support us because we could really use the help.
And if you appeal this, will you? If you're found guilty and, you know, fined $200 or whatever, because first offense, chances are you're not going to get the maximum penalty unless you get a judge who just really hates you. The appeal could be based on the fact that the marriage law itself is unconstitutional.
That's true.
Okay. And was that what you were thinking you would base an appeal on?
That's what my partner, Bo, is really focused on because he's very specific about that wording, and he says that invalidates all marriages. And so then every single person in line with us that day and everyone prior to that day when this amendment was passed, their marriages are invalid.
And what Mark's talking about is the wording that says that anything similar to or exactly like marriage in the state of Texas shall not be legal. And the only thing that's exactly like marriage is marriage.
It's marriage. Hello.
Right.
Exactly. I know you talked about the possibility of suing the state of Texas. Just for that, you know, these other challenges that have happened around the country, especially the successful ones mm-hmm. to their state, anti-marriage, gay marriage laws, have been kind of headed by some group like Lambda Legal. Have you all been approached by anybody to help you out, or
the action came on Thursday. My birthday was Saturday. We had an incredible show at the bar. You know, it's Sunday was my day to actually celebrate my birthday. We're just now getting a chance to breathe.
Gotcha.
And we see that we have people out there. We've gotten some letters. But, you know, ultimately, I would like to see President Obama take the same stance that Abraham Lincoln did and change us all around right on his own. He has a chance to make history, and he can free us all.
Okay, now I want to switch gears a little bit. And let's go to the jailhouse, because these guys did some hard time. It was minutes and minutes of hard time.
No, we did hours, actually, of hard time. And but let me tell you.
Hard labor. I mean, they had them working in the quarry. It was.
Well, you know, it was. I ate both my bologna sandwiches because I was hungry. But, you know, we got up there, and, you know, they have to process us. And at first, you know, they took us away from the general population, which was nice, and they put us in separate rooms. But they were separate rooms, but I'd knock on the wall, dun-dun-dun, and then Bo would knock, dun-dun-dun, so I knew he was still in there. And our chief of police, all of a sudden I hear all the police officers say, oh, good evening, chief. And my door was open a little bit, and Chief Lupe kind of looked around the corner, and I just kind of smiled and waved, and she just kind of looked back at me. But then they take us upstairs because we do have to have our bond set, and they take in 50 guys at a time. They said it was a slow night, so they only had 150 to process at the time. You know, it's the day after 4th of July. So we're processed through medical, and then we go and we're the last two, number 48 and 49. And you know, the inmates have three televisions that they get to watch without sound. The police officers over in the corner get to watch the television with sound, but it's the same station, so you can kind of sort of hear it. But I walk in there, and this Latino guy with tattoos all the way across his face turns around and goes, "Hey, you were just on TV." So I guess they're showing us. And then this black guy next to me says, "What are y'all in here for?" And so I'm standing there with 48 men, and I heard all their cases because we went up to bond with them, and they were criminals or accused criminals. And I said, "Well, my partner and I went to apply for a marriage license so that we could get married, and we got arrested. And I'm not going to use the F word," that they were like, "What the F?" Uh-huh. But they just, they could not believe it. They could not believe what was going on. They were like, "You're kidding me, really?
You're in jail because of that?"
I've got 48 gentlemen that I never thought I would have an audience with, and it was no big deal. Nobody said faggot, queer, any nasty thing, nothing like that. They were 100% behind us, but they weren't against us.
Okay, here's what I feel about that. When you're in that position, you can either be with the cops who just arrested you, or you can be with the gay guys who are in the tank with you.
Well, you know, we encountered a lot of police officers through this whole ordeal, and I would say if I encountered 100 police officers, 98 of them were, maybe they were friendly and or supportive.
Now, the other thing that I like that you told me was, as the officer is taking the two of them upstairs, you know, it's one officer, two prisoners. They don't know who these prisoners are. Could right. be dangerous. I'm sure some of the people that you were in that room with were actually dangerous. There they weren't doing there. Anything there, but I'm sure some of them could have been or had done something violent. So the other officer, "Oh, do you need any help?" And the officer that had them said, "No, I got this."
"Yeah, I got this."
got this. That's fine.
You know, it took 12 of them or something like that to arrest us. But when they got us there, you know, it was... But, you know, there was a lot of interesting experiences about the whole thing. But probably the most moving was when we were released from jail. And, you know, we were trying to decide, are we going to walk back to the truck? Are we going to take a cab? It's only about 15 blocks. Oh, let's take a cab. And then I looked over there, and I saw protesters, and I thought, "Oh, no." I said, "Bo, I think Westboro Baptist Church is here." And I'm like, "Oh, God, how did they get down here so fast?" But when I got a little bit closer, I saw that it was our friends. We had the DFW sisters there. We had gay men, lesbians, old people, young people, straight people, old people. And they all had signs that they were holding up as the people drove past Lucedale, which is a very busy street. Yes. And people were honking and waving and clapping and giving the thumbs up. And people had been coming and going throughout the night. I guess it was some sort of flash mob or something. I don't know what it was. But they told me that they were prepared to be there all night long until we got out of jail to make sure that we had community friends there waiting for us.
And what was interesting was there was a little mob inside the county clerk's office, but guess after it hit the news, this kind of went viral. So there was a large mob that was out there waiting for you, and I had been reporting the story in the afternoon.
And I was following it on Facebook because I'm, you know, friends with like C.D. Kervin and
love her,
right? Yeah, and she was posting like every 2 minutes, and then other people from Get Equal Texas and actually National Get Equal, they were all posting it too. So I was following all this on Facebook before you even got out.
I didn't bother to go down because I had talked to Laura Martin earlier, and I said, "Well, how long do you think they'll be?" She said, "Oh, they'll be out by first thing in the morning. It depends how busy they are in the jail. Depends on, well, I mean, obviously, Loopy pushed there, and I'd never accuse her of doing anything like that. But Loopy obviously pushed them up, and they were out, you know, 4 hours.
So you didn't have to stay the night.
No.
5 hours from beginning to end. But, you know, it did seem
and
like a long
marks
time.
And there are marks on the cell wall to prove it.
But, you know, I got to tell y'all, you know, without the help of Get Equal Texas and our friends within that organization, this would have really truly been a challenge. Those men and women that are donating their time, you mentioned CD, and we've got Michael DiBiestri, and we've got Daniel Cates here locally. They have been great helping us out because, you know, we just want to get married. We don't understand all the ramifications and the arrests and having to get lawyers and all that kind of stuff. We're just two guys. We just want to get married. And they're really helping us out, and I support that group 100%. And we are going to be able to get married one of these days.
If the law changes in Texas, will you get remarried here in Texas?
No, there would really be no need to.
Because Texas would have to honor...
They would recognize our already existing marriages.
Marriage, okay.
There would be no need to. Now, I know some people, like, I think Louise and her partner have gotten married in a couple of different states. Some people do that.
Well, they were the first couple to get a civil union
in Vermont.
And then I think they went out to California, and mm-hmm. they have one of those...
Right.
You know,
legal marriages.
Heterosexual people renew their vows all the time, so why not?
They do. I mean, we could, but there really wouldn't be a need for it. I guess we could do it.
Oh, your daughter could be your flower girl.
Yeah, because I'm a flower girl. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
come on now.
Yeah. Well, of course, I'll let Lambda Weekly know. I'll be able to be the first one to let you know.
Oh, we'll cover it. Yeah, okay. We'll cover it.
I offered to be an usher.
Okay.
Anyway, well, we're coming to the end of Lambda Weekly. Mark, that was a fast hour. Thank you very much for being here on. August 2nd, you're going to be in court. You're looking for supporters to be there to support you.
You can go to our Facebook page. It's an open invitation. It's free, Major and Beau. You know, if you can be there in thought or spirit or anything, if you can be there personally, great. But just showing that you're supporting us, which is actually the whole marriage equality meant, share it with your friends. Let them know what we're going through. They will know that people from all over the world are supporting marriage equality by saying that they'll attend this event. So it's Major and Beau on Facebook.
And
good luck.
Thanks for being here with us. We'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly.